A woman wrote into Reader's Digest, told a story about what happened when she was 10 years old, how she found a wallet. And even as 10 years old, she knew that usually there's a reward. But there was no money in the wallet. But there was a name, address, phone number. And she knew if she called that phone number, somebody would give her a reward for returning the wallet. So she tried to call the number all day long, no answer. Finally, at night, she talked her dad into taking her to the address so she could give the wallet back to the person. So he drove her to the home, and when they pulled up, the house was dilapidated, screen door, the screen was coming off. They walked up, she knocked on the door. She said she turned around to see her dad taking three $20 bills out of his pocket and putting it in the wallet. Now, why did he do that? Because he saw a need, and he was able to help. We're finishing up our sermon series on In God We Trust. And this is the last sermon. And in this series, we've discovered that God has really blessed us. You know, they tell us something. I don't know if it's true or not. They tell us if you have a dog that it costs you about $1,800 a year to keep that dog. If you take the dog to the vet and get vaccines and you feed the dog, about $1,800 a year. That's hard for me to believe. If I thought that was really true, I'd probably get rid of my dog. I don't know. But $1,400 a year for cats, so it's cheaper to have a cat, they say. But that's amazing. There's nothing wrong with paying $1,800 or $1,400 a year to take care of your pets. That's wonderful. But what I'm trying to say is, man, we're blessed. You know, $1,800, that's more than most people in India make in a year. God has blessed us. There are about 20 million refugees worldwide, people who are forced to leave their homes and their countries because of violence and because of war, persecution. Most of these, 70% of these refugees are women and children. 100% are dependent on others for food and clothing and shelter. And we read those stats, you know, 20 million, and we think, boy, we're blessed. We're not part of that 20 million. One man writes about his boys. They got into the cupboards, got in refrigerators, then they complained, there's nothing to eat around here. You ever hear that at your house? Nothing to eat around here. The father said he went in, got into the cupboard, and there was, you know, peanut butter and jelly and cereal. Got in the refrigerator, there was carrots and apples and leftovers. And he said, but what my boys meant to say is there's no junk food. No junk food here to eat. According to the World Hunger Organization, there are about 815 million people who go to bed hungry every night. Most of us, that's not a problem. Most of our problem is eating too much before we go to bed at night. Now, here's the question for this sermon. What is our responsibility as Americans, as Christians? What is our responsibility to those in the world, those in our country, those in our community, within our church, within our family? What's our responsibility? What does God expect us to do to help? You know, there are people within our community and church who have lost jobs, who've had incomes cut because of a death in the family or because of an illness or because of a layoff, maybe divorce. You have people who are really hardworking, sometimes husband and wife both working, but they can barely make ends meet. And every so often something comes up and they need a little help. There are some people on fixed incomes who cannot afford to buy medicine or go to the doctor. They don't go to the doctor because they know he's going to want me to get a CAT scan. I can't afford to get a CAT scan. There are numerous reasons why people need help. But the question we want to deal with, first of all, is what is our responsibility to the poor and needy, these people who need help? And the first thing we discover as Christians is we are responsible for our family. The Bible says in 1 Timothy 5:8, anyone who does not provide for their relatives, and especially for his own household, has denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever. Worse than an unbeliever, denied the faith. We are responsible to take care of first our family. And after our family, then we move out from there. Next, the Bible says we need to be concerned about those in the family of God. In Acts chapter 2, we see the church is established and people from all over come to Jerusalem. They don't have jobs. They don't have places to live. And the people there in Jerusalem who became Christians sold what they had, much of what they had, and they gave it so the other people could stay and live. They helped these people. As we read through the book of Acts and the book of 1 and 2 Corinthians, we see a number of collections being taken for other Christian churches where there was a famine and they needed help. So we need to help our family, we need to help those in the family of God, and beyond that, we need to help non-believers. Galatians 6:10 says, therefore, as we have an opportunity, let us do good to all people, especially those who belong to the family of believers. So, you know, it goes family, then our family of believers, then all people. Proverbs 14:31 says, he who oppresses the poor shows contempt for the maker, but whoever is kind and needy honors God. Another word for honor there is glorifies God. When we help people who are in need, we glorify God. In the parable of the sheep and goats in Matthew chapter 25, Jesus talked about the righteous people who gave something to eat to those who were hungry, who clothed those who needed clothes, who looked after those who were sick, who went to visit those who were in prison, who gave something to drink to those who were thirsty. And the righteous people said to Jesus, man, when do we do this? And Jesus said this to him, I tell you the truth, whatever you did for one of the least of these, my brothers of mine, you did for me. What we do for the poor needy is what we do for the Lord. Looking after the needy brings honor and glory to God. When we look after those who are poor and hungry, those who are down and out, the needy, then we are doing one of the things that God asks us to do. God says religion that God our Father accepts as pure and faultless is this, to look after orphans and widows in their distress. And John tells us that looking after the needy is one of the best proofs that the love of God is in us. He says, if anyone has material possessions and sees his brother in need but has no pity on him, how can the love of God be in him? Dear children, let us not love with words or tongue, but with actions and truth. So we can summarize these verses we looked at by saying, we need to be concerned about those who need help. Different levels, whatever it might be, we need to be concerned. We need to start with helping those in our family. We need to move out to those within the Christian community. And then we need to move out from there to those within the larger community. In 1989, Hubert Langford died in Brooks, Georgia. He was a local elder in his church, and he was also a grocer. He owned a little grocery store. It was an old-fashioned place, you know, with the wooden counters, and kids would come in after school and buy candy, and people would sit around and play checkers and talk. Brooks, Georgia is a town of about 200 people. When he died, 500 people attended his funeral. The week after his funeral, a columnist from Atlanta Constitution shared a story about Hubert Langford, a story that provided some kind of insight in what type of man he was. She wrote about the time she got lost and ended up in Brooks, Georgia. She said, I went to this little store to ask for directions and buy a Coke. I found Mr. Langford there and I stayed for a conversation. While she was talking to him, a man came in and the man said, Mr. Langford, I need help. I need more credit. I can't pay anything now, but my children are hungry and I need help. And this writer said, you would have thought that Hubert was talking to the governor of Georgia. The respect he gave that poor man. She said, I went in for a little drink and my life was transformed. That's what God expects us to be like. God expects us to be concerned about those who are in need. Now, the second thing I want us to realize is this. God promises to reward those who look after the needy. Proverbs 19:17 says, he who is kind to the poor lends, get that word, lends to the Lord, and he will reward him for what he has done. What happens when you borrow money from the bank? Well, they expect you to repay it. Can you imagine that? Not only that, they want you to repay it with what? Interest. And God says, when you help the poor, you are lending to me, and I'm going to pay you back with interest. Now, don't use this verse to take the idea of the prosperity gospel. You give $100 to somebody, God's going to give you $200. That's not what he's saying. But he is saying that he'll bless you. When you are generous to those in need, he will bless you. Proverbs 11:25 says, a generous man will prosper. He who refuses others will himself be, he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed. And then Paul writes to the church in Timothy writes to the church, Paul writes to Timothy, and he says, command them to do good, to be rich in good deeds, and to be generous and willing to share. In this way, they will lay, notice this, up treasure for themselves as a firm foundation for the coming age, so that they may take hold of the life that is truly life. After Jesus tells that sheep and goat story in Matthew 25, he mentions those who have clothed and the people who needed clothes, who have fed the people who needed fed, visited those people in prison. And this is what he says to those people. Come, you who are blessed by my Father, take your inheritance, the kingdom prepared for you since the creation of the world. Get that, what inheritance. We help people here in this world, and you know, whether we're richly blessed here, we are certainly going to be richly blessed then. God blesses those who blesses others. But the reverse is also true. So notice this, God promises to judge those who oppose and ignore the needy. Most of us are familiar with the story of Sodom and Gomorrah, and we think about how God rained down fire from heaven upon those people because of their morality. But there's more to it than that. Ezekiel chapter 16 tells us, now this was the sin of Sodom. She and her daughters were arrogant, overfed, and unconcerned. They did not help the poor and needy. They were haughty and did detestable things before me. Therefore, I did away with them, as you have seen. God's judgment fell on Sodom because of their immorality, but also because they were overfed. They had plenty. And yet they ignored the poor and needy around them. Sorry, rich man Lazarus, we looked at last week. One reason the rich man did not make it to heaven was because he was not concerned about poor little Lazarus out there. He went out giving him scraps from his table. Again, in Jesus' story of the sheep and goat judgment in Matthew 25, concerning those who did not clothe the needy, who did not give food to those who were hungry, Jesus says this, "Depart from me, you who are cursed, into eternal fire, prepared for the devil and his angels." So this is a big deal to God. Our attitude about our money and how generous we are to those in need, it's a big deal to God. So here's something we need to ask. What are we doing as a congregation to help those in need? What are we doing? So I want to share with you some of the things we're doing. And understand, as a congregation, we're Christians. We're a body. We're a family working together to accomplish these things. So you have a big part in this. So what do? Well, first of all, we have what we call Local Benevolence Fund. This is a fund that goes to help people in our church and our community who are in need. Money comes for this fund from three sources. First of all, there's $2,000 in our budget for it. And then we have a Thanksgiving offering every year, and $1,500 of the Thanksgiving offering goes into the Local Benevolence Fund. And then there's a foundation, the Sheely Foundation, that sends us $1,000 every year, and they say, use this for local benevolence. So there's $4,500 a year that is set aside to help people maybe with food, electric bills, things like that, clothes, something like that. Now, we use this money first for our congregation and then for people in the community. What we usually do for people in the community is we try to give them guidance. And we'll say, hey, listen, you have this utility bill, you can go here, go here, go here. Try to get help from these different organizations. If you still have something you need help with, come back here. So we try to help our people, and we try to help those in the community through this, what we call Local Benevolence Fund. And as you give, a portion of your giving goes toward this money in our budget, this fund. There are other ways we help. We have Harvest Sundays. You're familiar with these. We have this at the last Sunday in October, first Sunday in November, but we ask you to bring in food for social concern. We give this food to the Social Concern Committee, and they use this and pass it out to people in the community who have need, but you bring this food in. We have special offerings, different groups within the church, different Sunday school classes. Sometimes even as a congregation, we have a special offering for someone in need. And then the deacons have a fund. They use the fund for different things, but sometimes it's for somebody who is in need. Many times for somebody who is in need. The women of the church collect gloves and scarves and hats to give the social concern, and also school supplies to help in that way. And then we have our Caring Hands Food Ministry, and I want to talk to you a little bit about that this morning. Many of you are very familiar with it, but I want to share a few things with you. The money for this ministry comes from a few sources. Number one, in our budget, we budget $1,200 a year toward this. But most of the money for Caring Hands is over and above our tithes. It's Caring Hands is offerings. It's gifts people give. The majority, 90% of our money comes from your generosity, writing a check and putting Caring Hands at the bottom and giving gifts in that way. Also, the Lake Mount Church of Christ helps us with Caring Hands, and they give us $2,400 a year. And we get gifts from different people in the community, and Christians from other churches will send gifts in to help with the Caring Hands program. Now, this ministry was started a number of years ago through the effort of Mary Trudy Makel. It was her dream She got the whole thing rolling and coordinated for many years. Under her leadership and a ton of volunteers, caring hands over the years fed about 50,000 people, maybe a little more than that. Last year, Trudy stepped down as far as coordinating it after doing it for a long, long time. And the ministry was reorganized last summer, and we did not distribute food in August, September, and October, and we restarted the ministry again in November. Since then, we've averaged about 150 families coming in per month for food. We have a committee that basically takes care of this now. Althea Wolf is on the committee, and she really helps with organizing this and taking care of the Wednesday and Thursday distributions and setup. I help with that, and I'm also on the committee. Ellen Boone from Lakemont is on the committee. Sandy Connor and Jerry Connor on the committee. Sandy is our treasurer. Jesse Totoris from Lakemont is on the committee, and John Fiesel. And every one of those committee members work really hard for Caring Hands. I want to share with you just how Caring Hand works. First of all, we get our food from three different sources. We get it from Gleaners, which is a food bank in Youngstown. Bill Riddle and Jim Maker will go and pick up food there once, sometimes twice a month. They go help pass out the food there, then they bring food back here. This last Thursday, they brought back food that we gave away. But this is what we got from Gleaners: potato chips and crackers and salsa and strawberry milk. And enough pumpkin pies for everybody to get two pies each. So that was great. We also, Giant Eagle gives us desserts and breads. And Jerry Connor goes every Wednesday and he picks up garbage bags full of bread and desserts and brings them for us. And we freeze them until it's time for the handout. But we get most of our food from Second Harvest Food Bank in Youngstown. Once a month, we have a couple who volunteer. Norman and Colleen Schreifler, they go pick up food for us. Not a lot of food, though, but we have them pick it up and bring it back. And then basically once a month, the Wednesday before our giveaway, Second Harvest delivers the food for us. They deliver it for free. They bring it into the gym for us on skids, and then we unload it. On Wednesday morning, a number of people come, and we unload it. Then on Wednesday night before the giveaway, rather than having our regular Bible study, we put the food in bags. We had about 34 or 5 people out last Wednesday, and we're able to bag up all that food in about an hour. And we really appreciate the help and really need help. Any Wednesday you can come out to help us would be tremendous. We really need help there. And then on Thursday, of course, we have our food giveaway. And we need volunteers to come and help us. The distribution starts at 10 o'clock, and because of packaging the food the way we do and everything, we're done, completely done by usually 1 to 2 o'clock and cleaned up and ready to go home. And it's great because that helps the people. They don't have to wait so long to get their stuff, and we move along quite quickly. We certainly appreciate also the young people from East Palestine High School and Crestview. They take turns coming every other month to help us, and they send about 10 or 12 young people down, and that's a real blessing also. So I want to thank all the volunteers who give hours and hours to help with this each month. I wish I could name you, but if I started to name you, I'd miss a dozen people, I bet, because there are so many who help. I want you to know this, though: your help is appreciated not only here on earth, but it's appreciated and recognized in heaven. A lot of pictures I can share with you. I'm not going to do that. I'm going to share one picture with you in a moment. But before I do that, I want to just tell you what we gave away this last Thursday, just to give you an idea of what's given away. Everyone who came got 2 cans of spaghetti sauce, and that's it. We sent them home after that. No. Just wanted to see if you're awake. 2 cans of spaghetti sauce, 2 cans of Sloppy Joe mix, 2 cans of beef ravioli, 2 cans of pork and beans, 2 cans of sliced peaches, 2 cans of mixed fruit, 2 cans of chunk chicken, 2 cans of pork, 2 cans of green beans, 2 cans of tomato soup, 2 boxes of macaroni and cheese, 19-ounce bottle of strawberry jelly. You were asleep there. You didn't catch that one. I had to tell you. Yeah. 18-ounce jar of peanut butter, 32-ounce bag of lentils, 32-ounce bag of rice, 46-ounce bottle of orange juice, 5 bags of cereal. We get these little cereal bags. We put them in a bag. 5 bags of cereal, bags of chips, a loaf or 2 of bread or buns, two pumpkin pies, and then they also got to choose another dessert, one bag of oranges, one bag of apples, one 10-pound bag of potatoes, one bag of onions, and they also received 1 pound of ground meat, one 3-pound ham, and a bag of catfish, and strawberry milk. So that's 37 items. Now, this is what those 37 items look like in the grocery cart. Now, you imagine pushing that grocery cart out at Walmart or Giant Eagle. What do you think that's going to cost you? You know, sometimes after I get my groceries, there's 3 bags, and the lady says, that'll be $92. What? There's 3 bags? Anyhow, that's what it looks like. If you were to buy this in the store, it would cost you somewhere between $80 and $100. Most of our items are generic, not all of them, but most of them. So, and we don't know exactly what it would cost because it's like our desserts. We gave away cakes this week that the price on them was $16. So we gave 3 pies away. You know, the price might have been $9 or more for that, these small pies. And then some of the desserts are priced at $1.50. So it depends what they took. So, and same with bread. You might have bread that's a specialty bread that they might pick up that cost $5, and other bread might cost $1.50. So between $80 and $100, that's how much it would cost you if you would buy this stuff at the store. So let's take the average number of people we have, 150. 150 people times $80, that's $12,000. 150 people times, you know, $100, that's $15,000. That's how much food we're able to help people with each month, but it doesn't cost us that. That buggy load of food there, grocery cart of food, cost us $8 to $10. So we're able to feed 150 people for somewhere between $1,200 and $1,500 a month. And this was the first month, wasn't it? We spent around $1,500. It's been below that all the other months. So we're able to give all that food out for between $1,200 and $1,500. And that's great. That's a great deal for these people, and it takes a lot of work, a lot of hard time, a lot of time, and generous giving by you folks, and a tremendous amount of people have been helped over the years. So Caring Hands, you know, is a ministry where we help people within the church and outside the church. There are regulations, government regulations, because we get our food from Second Harvest, and you have to fall within certain income categories, but the income categories are high, and many people can get help. And people come from Youngstown, Pennsylvania, East Liverpool, Columbiana, Salem, and East Palestine. They come from all over to get help. So we help that way. We also help the poor needy through our mission funds. We have a number of different missionaries. Listen to this now. People who help what we're going to call the desperately needy. The desperately poor. You've seen it on television. You've seen these mothers who have 7 kids and they don't have enough food for 2 of them. These people who are dying of hunger, the desperately poor. And you see those television ads and you want to help them. And I'm sure some of you do help through those programs. But we help through our mission program. We have missionaries in Haiti and Africa and Thailand and Burma and India and the Philippines and Italy. We have these missionaries who will help. They help clothe and feed and give medical care to these kids and to these adults. They care for orphans and children and for the elderly. They help in time of disaster, both in the United States and around the world. So when you see those commercials, you know, feel free to help. There's nothing wrong with helping. But understand when you give your tithe here, that portion of that goes to these missions, and it goes to these people who are in desperate need, and they're helped through our mission programs. So God says that we have a responsibility to help those who legitimately, and we try to do our best to make sure there's a legitimate need, who legitimately are in need. And we try to fulfill that responsibility as a congregation. Working together, we try to fulfill that responsibility that God has given us. And I want to thank you and thank you and thank you for your generous support. Remember this. When it comes to giving, God is trusting us. God is trusting us to give our tithes and our offerings to carry out his work, to fulfill the Great Commission, to make sure that people will end up in heaven, that they will accept Jesus Christ, but also to make sure that those who need help in this world will get the help that they need. God is trusting in us, and what we need to do is trust in God. Trust that God will provide for us when we are the generous people that he asks us to be. So if you're here this morning as a Christian, that's a challenge for you. Be generous. God has given us, God has blessed us so we can be generous with others. If you're here this morning and not a Christian, we'd like to encourage you to make that decision. There's no greater decision you ever make in your life than to become a child of God. The Bible says to become a Christian, we need to have faith. It leads us to repent of our sins, confess Christ, and to be baptized into him, to be born again, to become part of his family. If you're here this morning, you need to make that decision. Our baptistry back here is ready. We can baptize you into Christ this morning. We're going to stand and sing, and if you need to make a decision, come forward at this time, and we'll do that. Let's stand and sing together.